Hello and welcome to Ledger Cast. Is that the name of this show? Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome to Ledger Cast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. I am here with Josh Ulsewicz. Hey, Josh.
Brian, how are you on this amazing week of trading slash life?
This has been a long week, Josh. A good week. It's been a good week, but it's been a long week.
I've had several people tell me who have been trading for many, many years. 10 years or more. These are some of the craziest things I've ever seen happen in the markets.
Yeah, I mean, how could it not be with what we've seen? Like, my personal friends who I don't talk to about trading or anything investing suddenly were messaging me about GME, and I'm like, freaking GameStop, are you serious? Like, that's, and I didn't realize the story was outside of, you know, the trading landscape yet, but it was. I guess how could it not be? But you see a short squeeze, they happen all the time, they don't always happen with this percentage. What did it go up? Like, if you call it from the breakout, you know, like 8,300%. So,
yeah, but that's pretty insane. That's the ultimate takeaway from all this, is it was a short squeeze. It was embellished because of the percentage short versus the actual float. It was embellished because of access to market participation. It was embellished because of how it was talked about. And this stuff happens all the time. Like you said, it just so happens that, like, it blew out some multi-billion-dollar funds. And sorry, get wrecked. You shouldn't have played stupid games. You win stupid prizes, you know? Like, I have no sympathy.
I think the big thing here is that we discovered that what can happen when a bunch of, like, retail people group together to corner a market, and in a market where the shares are greater than 100%. Short. Right. And my dog has made her presence known really early in this episode, because I think my wife took the kids outside in the car just to get them out of here while I was recording, and the dog's like, hey, take me with you. So say hey to the dog. Hey, Lucy, she's right here. But yeah, I mean, 130% of this thing was short floated, and it just got the attention of the entire world. Like, my regular Twitter account, like, that's all they were talking about. And then, of course, it transitioned, as all things do, immediately to a Doge pump. There were some other stocks, right?
But it did that mainly because it was, one, available on Robinhood, two, at a penny. So you could buy, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of Doge, and you're in, you know, for basically the multiples of it are insane, right? Like, that's always been the story with Doge. That's why it's a prime pump and dump vehicle, because of how the multiplier works, you know, when you have 100,000 Doge, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was literally what everyone was expecting from Doge, because it's done it since 2014.
It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah. So. But this one goes down with the best of them. Like, you know, like,
oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Ever since, really the last good one was September 2018. Every little spike since then was pretty small on a relative basis. But this, like, I mean, on a dollar basis, it's absurd, all-time highs. But on a Bitcoin basis, like, this is well into the you got to sell here type of territory, right? Like,
yeah.
Doge 100 sats, count your blessings. Doge 150, you're playing a dangerous game. And, you know, this thing on Binance went to like 250. I'm sitting here on the Poloniex chart purely for historical basis, and it got to 174. So if somebody was buying Doge over 150 sats, like, you like being poor. Like, that's a good way to lose your money.
The other thing about Doge, again, if we're talking about float and supply and demand, stuff we talk about all the time, like, the Doge float isn't probably that big. Like, I don't know how big it is, but considering most people who have it or have had it just kind of, like, forget about it or throw it away.
You know,
there's not a lot floating around. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah. My favorite thing about this is, like, I've been looking for this trade because it's literally the same pattern that happened in February 2017. So I was watching this 200-week moving average, and I was like, this is just purely technical. Like, everybody was waiting this. This is the kickoff to alt season. This is the fun pump. Like, it looks totally normal. You wouldn't have to tell me, like, Robin Hood did this, but Robin Hood also did this. So the dollar basis, people have made fun of me forever for looking at the dollar, but it's like a perfect cycle. So now maybe we do get one Doge pump at the end of the cycle, like to take it to new dollar all-time highs. Like, Doge goes to a quarter when Bitcoin's six figures or something. So, like, maybe we end up here in a year, and then it'll die for like three more years, and it'll go back to 15 sats. It is, you just cannot kill these blockchains. But if you're buying Doge here, stop it, get out.
Not investment advice,
but. Not investment advice. It's personal advice.
it's for our own sanity. Yeah, I mean, nothing that's up 600 to 800% in a day is sustainable. I don't care what you say. So
yeah, I even said on my regular, I don't tweet crypto, on my other Twitter account, I was like, please don't buy Doge. And then I saw somebody talking about how they couldn't use the exchange where they're trying to buy Doge, and I responded, I was like, please don't buy Doge. And they're like, trust me, this is very short term. And I was just thinking to myself, like, yes, you will lose money very quickly. It's like, if you really want to do something, at least buy something that's legit. Like, you know, with Ethereum up here, like, hovering all-time highs, it's speculative too, but it looks a heck of a lot better than Doge. Anyway, I'm salty because I did not become a Doge millionaire last night like I should have. You played it a little bit, at least, didn't you?
I did play it, yeah. Yeah, and if you're getting in here, the move is done. The move happened.
The move's done.
Sorry, but like,
now,
it's over.
Now you compare, Josh, my face hurts. I'm so bullish on Ethereum right now. Like, I don't need these lines. Forget these lines. This is 1, 2, 3, 4 touches on this all-time high, and it's just coiled up. And the next stop is beyond whatever you anticipate, in my mind, on Ethereum, right? Like, I want to play this on spot. I don't need a stop because I'm just like, it's going to go, and it's going to go a lot higher. All this stuff in legacy, it's really causing some problems. Like, the markets had been down up to 2% a couple days in a row, and I think it's because of these prime brokers and these people trying to settle this stuff and, like,
T+2, T+1, T+3, it's all garbage. Burn it all down.
Yeah, but it's like,
get rid of the whole system, it's all trash.
These liquidity issues and stuff. But you know what? Today's Friday, and Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern time is when fun starts, and that's in 10 minutes. And I think crypto will be able to do its thing in its own way, in its own time, outside of these legacy hours, and we're gonna have fun. We're following the plan. This has been my plan since, I don't know, November. My January is for alt season. Go ahead and at me. Like, now is your time to at me because I'm right. Go for it. Clout to be harvested at this moment.
All roads lead to decentralization, and we are seeing more and more shades of that in every aspect of life, whether it be social media, whether it be markets, companies trading, whatever you want to think of it as. You can't be bullish. You can't see what's happening in legacy markets and not be bullish on crypto here. You know?
Right.
Like, and this is why crypto's here, right? Like, yeah. This is the whole thing. This is the whole meat and potatoes.
Yep. Totally, totally agree. And honestly, even with this, like, up and down again, it's just chop for Bitcoin to me. I'm not going to get bearish on Bitcoin here. It's well within the same range that we've been talking about. I just think it's going to do a big bag of nothing.
What I said for ETH is, it's an ascending triangle. I need my lines. Sorry.
Yeah.
So my lines are telling me ascending triangle for ETH, which it has a target of 18 to 20 or 1.8 to 2. However, I don't know, however you want to think about it, or say that 2,000. That's my target for ETH. This should break up. This has a bullish bias. We're printing Adam and Eve's over and over again here on all these fractals on like low time frames. As long as it doesn't make a lower low, I think we're fine. If you look at the pitchfork, I'm a little concerned where we are. I've talked about that a billion times. I'm not going to rehash that. If you look at the MA multiplier, we look like we want to go.
But it's riding the stairs up.
Yeah, for sure. So the MA multiplier is saying anything above 2,000 is start selling territory. So that doesn't mean like that's the top. It just means historically that's where things slow down for sure as far as the expectations. So I'm probably not as bullish on ETH as you are, but I am bullish on the next move. It's 100% in my mind going to be up.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, looking at BTC, I was saying there's this edge-to-edge setup over the next couple months. Whatever's happening on BTC right now isn't like bullish or bearish, obviously. It's just chop. But if you are going to long it, I'd be watching the 4-hour cloud, which is what I'm watching for BTC. So if this flips bullish, you know, 100%, then we're good to go. But yeah, I expect ETH to move up. I expect ETH to drag BTC with it to some degree. I don't know. Everything looks fine to me.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. I am watching this 20-day, which it looks like it's just a retest to me, but I don't know. It's just noise. Like I think we'll probably close the daily here, you know, like right around there. And then, you know, we might jump above it and dance in the 36, 37, 38 range. I don't know, something like that this weekend, or maybe we'll go down. We'll do 32, 33. That might adjust the degree of the fun in altcoins, but all the flow here, I think we'll go towards buying the altcoin dips that occurred today because Bitcoin had such a low time, medium time frame, whatever, like explosive move. So in this one big candle we had overnight, you know,
well, we didn't talk about why that happened, right?
I don't even really know why. I know that Elon Musk put Bitcoin in his Twitter profile. Was that really the reason?
That was the reason, I'm pretty sure.
Gosh.
So if he tweets about it, as far as you know, his company holds some, then this thing could just go to infinity at that point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's the richest person in the world talking about Bitcoin and Doge. You know, like, I don't know what to say about that. It's
that's why you can't sleep in shorts. You can't expect mega bearish moves because anything could happen. Literally anything. What did Dalio say? It's a call option on Infinity or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember what his article said, but I should have brought that up on the market huddle that I was just on. Tomania in chat asked was it not options expiry or futures expiry? We did have, was it CME futures for Bitcoin that expired?
Yeah, so CME did expire today, which is another reason why anytime there's any expiry of CME or Deribit or all of them, you always have to take market action with a grain of salt as far as what's happening, because there's a lot of open interest that's moving around, that's churning price up and down. There's tons of volatility surrounding those dates. So even with the Elon candle retracing, to me, the fact that it's all happening like close to the expiry, like, is all irrelevant. Like, literally anything can happen. So,
yeah. And right, I mean, I'm going to blame expiry, not Elon Musk on the candle. Let's see. That was the contract that opened August 3rd, and it closed at like 2 a.m. or something. And I'm guessing there was also a Deribit options expiry today, but I'm not 100% certain on that.
Yeah, there is. I don't know the time.
I think those are always like in the middle of the night too. So I'm guessing that combo had a lot more to do with that candle than Elon Musk, but people will assign it to Elon Musk, and that's fine.
Well, it's all, you know, it all lines up, right?
Right. It's just part of the fun. I think it was a few hours later, but yeah, it's the same thing.
I was looking at the G candle from October 2019. Oh,
yeah. Forgot about that one.
And it looks,
we're going to make a blockchain announcement candle.
Yeah. It looks eerily similar. Let me just pull it up here. Hold on.
Yeah, that's fine. While you're pulling that up, the other thing I'm looking at on Bitcoin, 4-hour midterm trends, it's been pretty respectful of the 200, and it lost it for a minute, but it usually likes to bounce off of it on dips. That's what it's doing right now. So I actually think with this legacy close, we're probably seeing the bottom for the weekend, which makes me very bullish on buying some of these altcoin dips. Yeah. So here's your Z candle announced.
G.
G.
So this is the G candle, and this is how we are now.
Yeah. These things happen around futures expiries and stuff, so it doesn't surprise me too much.
I wouldn't get super excited that we're going to infinity when you see this, although it is exciting that we're going from the bottom of the range to the top of the range. You know, I don't, like we've said 20,000 times over already, this is just all chop.
Yeah. our buddy Lawmaster over at the Block, he shared, I think the Block has some custom data on app installs, and Coinbase is back into the top 10 of app installs, which is fun.
Well, that's how retail is. It's herd mentality, locusts. Like, they move from Robinhood, they piss off, they get pissed off by Robinhood, they move to Coinbase. Coinbase is going to piss them off because they're going to close down the accounts temporarily for whatever reason, like they did today, as far as not being able to keep up infrastructure wise, right? And then ideally they move to some DeFi stuff, you know, like that's, but DeFi is not ready either. So
yeah, it's like, how do you tell these brand new people all about like where to trade on a DEX? It's hard. Even though they should, and you know, if they do trade on a DEX, then they should definitely be using Matcha to do it, because you just go to ledgerstatus.com/matcha and it's super easy to trade on a DEX that aggregates all that liquidity for you, pulls it in, makes it super simple, and you maintain custody of the whole thing. I can explain this to the very smart listeners of Ledgercast and tell them about our partner Matcha, but it's a little harder for someone that's like brand new and all they really know is like, Robinhood or Coinbase.
What's a wallet?
Yeah, so us smart people can trade on Matcha, and what we can do is we can focus some of our energy, maybe if we think they're going to be buying some retail friendly coins, and we can see what might they be buying, like what's listed on Coinbase that's also DeFi friendly or whatever. What's under a dollar and is a DeFi coin? What is in the new Blockfolio release, who just enabled trading?
Like, right, so like lowest common denominator.
All these lowest common denominators, and you get to you get to some coins that it does kind of help you narrow it down a little bit. But nevertheless, like, they should definitely be trading on Matcha, and we appreciate Matcha for being our partner. I'm going to try to pull up my tweet where I talked about some of these potential coins, because I do think that, I mean, with those installs, this is not new, right, Josh? Like, we've played this game before. We know what tends to move. Stuff already started trying to rotate a little bit out of Doge as kind of this Kickstarter.
Doge moved because of Robinhood. So yeah, it's like, it's, you know, if you want an example of history, just look back 2 days ago or whatever.
Yeah, and it's totally real. Like, people are talking about in the chat whether it's real or not. Like, it's absolutely real. So I said the next best moves of retail wave will probably be Coinbase listed stuff, and the caveat there is maybe Robinhood listed stuff, except for the only real applicable thing on Robinhood's like ETC, and if that goes, I'm going to be pretty sad. But anyway, some of the ones that are on Coinbase and also kind of have my DeFi narrative and are cheap under a dollar are like Ren, Loopring, ZRX, and then there's like Algo. And then the non-DeFi version would be like XLM. Of course, it was the first that started to do the thing. These are all under a dollar. Ripple's not traded there anymore, is it?
No, but Ripple is moving up too. So maybe it's like Binance.
I think a lot of it's, though, people like us speculating what they will do before they actually do, not the real move. It's not necessarily immediate. But I think whether you like it or not, you're going to have to look at like what are the overlaps for where these things have access.
And all this stuff's extremely temporary as far as price action.
Yes. Yeah. The stuff that'll be less temporary that's real is, like, I think we'll continue to see bullishness out of like the big DeFi projects, the new blue chips, right? Your Aaves and your Unis, things like that. That, I mean, they're pretty overextended on a dollar basis, but they fit the same criteria. But they're not like a 30-cent coin that's going to the moon. I'm not saying that's the way we should approach like any kind of long-term basis trade. But if you're saying like, okay, where's this action going to flow on near time frames? It sure might flow in that way. Yeah. So definitely something to be on the lookout for. But for the most part, I want to keep sticking to my plan, you know?
Classic Brian, sticking to the plan.
Stick to the plan.
If I think about you in any way, it's you sticking to the plan.
I think you're saying that sarcastically.
I am, but... Yeah, but I think it's worth... Like, if you want to be super speculative as far as, like, front-running the herd, it's definitely worth, like, poking around and seeing, like, what's available where.
Now, when I look around, I like Aave a lot. However, I also see like something like Comp. It's the same product category as Aave. Doesn't necessarily have as good of tokenomics or whatever, but it's got the same DeFi narrative. It's also on Coinbase, it's that kind of thing. And it looks like it wants to go into USD relative price exploration. So this is where I look at something and I'm like, okay, this is kind of cute, you know? Like, this is the type of thing that a narrative that fits. It's got the access and it's got the chart that I might want to play with anyway. So that's what I'm personally interested in. And when I look at this BTC relative chart, again, I don't like Comp necessarily as much as Aave, but like Aave already went up a ton, and I do think Aave I think it's going to run the fibs like we've talked about, can go all the way to like 500, but it's also at its 2.618 from its like super all-time high breakout. It's pretty extended, so Aave could chill a little bit and you get the Comp rotation, and then when Aave sets up another good pattern, maybe you rotate back and you get your push to 500. So I don't think you have to be like some altcoin maximalist. You can look for where is the rotation trade, what does make sense. And I think a lot of this smart money pushed to, you know, something like Uni, and it went from, Josh, when I told you I thought this was a good buy at $6, it's now at 15. I didn't follow the plan on Uni, did you?
No, I closed it out as it was falling, basically. So what was that, 580 or something? I don't know. Yeah. No, I didn't hold it.
Now, retail people may still buy these, but like the smart money that's in 3 or 4x positions, like they might dump on retail as they do it. So that's why I think that I'd rather go to the stuff that hasn't moved yet, you know, but of has course. All the same capacity.
Ye old rotation game.
Ye old rotation game. And I don't have it on my chart here, but everybody's telling me to look at Algo. So I imagine that's one that I need to be paying attention to. And it fits all these same criteria. So let's look at Algo. And yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it's like on this daily chart. Anything that hasn't gone into some kind of crazy price exploration, I just anticipate it will go into some kind of crazy price exploration.
I like that chart as an inverted head and shoulders too.
Yeah, it might definitely be that long term from back here. It doesn't have to be perfect shoulders or anything.
Right. It's good enough.
New weekly high above 62 cents. Like, we don't have to be the smartest people in the world to say, I want to play a move from a high to a low, break the high, and then run the fibs, you know? So can Algo go to a dollar something? Yes. And what is it now? 62 cents. Well, congratulations. That's like a double to get to the 2.618 on that weekly chart. And it'll probably do it in like 10 days or something. So I can't look at this in a vacuum and get freaking bearish is my point while Bitcoin chops around.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking at USD charts, sure. But the BTC charts are still, you know, ETH BTC got clobbered. This is DOT. DOT was also setting up for whatever this is.
But DOT made like a gigantic move. It's so expensive. Yada, yada,
I know.
Yada.
I'm not going to touch it, but
right.
If I'm playing this on TA, this looks amazing, you know?
Look at this Algo weekly. I think I'm going to have to buy Algo.
Oh, man. That looks really good.
Doesn't it? It's like super spring right there. Like
very much so.
Bust through the lows, go over the 20-week, break the prior all-time low, and bam, slam bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, here's your target. Well, let's see how much, what percentage that is. If you wait, get the 20-week.
I don't know what
that's 161% that relative to Bitcoin to go to the previous weekly highs.
Crazy weekly candles. But this whole
that is going to hit. This is going to hit. It's going to, I'm going to buy Algo. I'm going to find out how to buy Algo. I'm going to buy it. It's going to go up 160%.
All right. Well, the thing about this week and living through this week and like trading through this week is, it's hard to like use this as a point in history that is valid. You know, there's just too much stuff going on. It's like an unprecedented series of events, like over and over and over again, like shutting down buying and selling for whatever reason on Robinhood and all the other stuff. Something else we noticed, there was a massive premium on Doge USD on Kraken. versus everywhere else. So Robinhood must be using Kraken as their like way to get Doge or something. Like, what else would explain that, right?
I guess so. I don't really know.
Like, compare Doge USD to like Binance Doge USD, and it's bizarre. It's like so disconnected.
Yeah, I can believe it. Talk some more. We got some cookie drop off over here.
Okay. Yeah, so if you're trading DOT, I, like most of the stuff, I just watch it on the 4 hour. You know, like this has a setup. Like, I can't stand DOT as the project or anything about the tokenomics of it. But if I'm trading this, I'm watching and waiting for a 4 hour TK cross, recross. We talked about algo. I was talking about like what's worst case scenario for BTC in the videos I just did. Like, worst case is like 20 to 23 based on the weekly 20 SMA and weekly Kijun. Worst case for ETH is like 500 to 600.
Yeah, yeah. That's the scary part. Like, if legacy breaks down, right? Like, the mean reversion is absolutely devastating.
Yeah, I'm not saying it like I expect this to happen. I'm saying it like, you know, this is a possibility, you know, 50% down move. It sounds insane, but
it could happen.
But it could happen, you know, and I'll be ready. I'll be ready if it does. Right.
Yeah. That's why I feel like we have to have this thesis for upside, because I think it's a very good setup. But if we start to see it breaking down properly, like, it could totally happen. Hey, my cookies got delivered.
Yeah. So be prepared, you know. Yeah. That's all I mean.
Win alt season. It's been alt season all month, Kuppa. In my mind.
Have you looked at dominance over the past couple days?
No. Dominance. Is it tracking back up?
No, it's gotten just absolutely destroyed.
Really?
Let me just pull it up.
Oh, I'm looking at it a weekly basis here.
Still, all these DeFi charts to me look like just growing bearish divergences. So I can't get bullish on anything that's at highs right now. But if you look at the dominance looks like it's setting up for a head and shoulders, honestly.
Which direction?
Bearish.
Bearish as in four alts.
Bearish for BTC. It's about to make a right shoulder here.
Yeah, I see that look that you mean now. That would make me happy, Josh. I love Bitcoin, which is why I want more of them, which is why I trade alts.
Which would make sense leading into Q2. Alts do really good.
Seasonality. The seasonality would love it.
Seasonality rearing its ugly head once again. But using DeFi perp as like a weather vane for the DeFi stuff, I can't get bullish on this stuff up here as a group. There might be some outperformers, rotations, whatever, but I don't like how that looks.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's a little challenging for me to say, you know what? What we should do here, we should buy Aave. It's up like 5x. You know, like, it's really hard. That's why I feel like we're probably more in a rotation game at this point. And it does make sense to have more consolidation, but that gets confusing. Like, my narratives start to conflict. Hey, here's a counter chart on that dominance element. If we play this linearly, it could be like this big ascending, like triangle type of thing, which would be more supportive.
What are you talking about? That is the dumbest thing I've seen all week.
It's the dumbest triangle you've seen all week.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, it's the 200 week moving average as well, and the 20 week moving average here. So I like your narrative better. I'm just saying, like, it could either float, or it. I can see the case for it, you know, crawling up a little bit. Could see the case. I don't love it. I don't love that. Doesn't fit my narrative. I'm just trying to put out a different thing. What I think is going to happen is, you know, you're looking at ETH, or you were looking at ETH. I think Ethereum is not going to have this giant drawdown. It's just going to go straight into price discovery, and it's going to go from overextended to super overextended. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, that's why I like 2K. Like, I can't look at multi-month views right now just because everything's so nuts. So I'm just focused on that ascending triangle. You know, you treat it as a breakout trade. It's a price discovery move. You treat BTC as everything else moving with everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really see a better way to play that in the moment other than just waiting for the breakout. I was looking at the market caps because Doge was briefly number six, I believe. And if you recall, I used to say that once Doge is above a billion, it is a bubble, and it's at 6.5 right now.
It's over. That Doge is a bubble, or the whole market's a bubble?
The whole market.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to show another top things real quick, and this is my Twitter analytics, and I don't know what to make of this, but it feels a lot like 2017. So like all the impressions are up 100% to 200% to 300%. I did interview the Crypto Witch this week on a panel with Kobe, so that could have been it. It could have been part of it, but it was already way up. But it is a little concerning. Like, we're at this retail rush. Like, it feels like more the beginning than the end, but it's possible that everything, like, just puts the brakes on, right? And we throw some of these people through the ringer as they enter crypto.
Yeah. I don't know which alts to be in here, though. That's why I'd rather just be in a DeFi basket. Because a lot of this stuff still looks like trash to me, even though Tron is pumping. SNX looked okay. Aave's at the top. Uni's at the top. BNB looked okay. Doge is just done for a couple of years. LTC I haven't really talked about or looked at, but
I just don't want to touch LTC.
Yeah, I know.
I think some of these mid time frames are where I end up.
Number four, nice.
Yeah, I think it's the mid time frames where I end up getting my bullishness from. Is like
even SNX looks like it's trying to ascending triangle. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like that. It makes me think we're going to push out of it. I harvested a lot of bullish sentiment on Twitter because I said ETH is going to 5,000 by the end of March. I said that at the height of Doge being at like 250 sats or something. And basically my justification was we go to all-time high and then we go farther, stupider, dumber than we would have expected is essentially how I got to that target.
Well, look, you can have all my ETH above 2,000. It's all yours.
Okay. Well, that's a double for me, right? From 2,000 to 5,000 or to 4,000 plus. No, I think what it could do is, remember when ETH made its move in 2017, it hit 400 in the spring and then didn't go above it until January, right? Or until December. So if you go back here, it was November, it finally broke out of it. But it actually made that level much earlier. And then it just consolidated in a giant triangle until it went dumb to 1,400. And I think we could essentially pin the yearly top on Ethereum early in the year and then get beat up relative to Bitcoin while Bitcoin makes its move. And there you go.
Did we talk about that last week, the quarterly? I think we did, right?
Yeah, the quarterly bullishness or whatever you want to call it.
ETHBTC seasonality.
Yeah, and ETHBTC looks amazing. That's the other reason I mentioned this. But really? This was goofier back then, this was easier to draw back then than it is right now when I have magnet mode on. But Ethereum made this massive move, went to $400, and then had this triangle. It got obliterated versus Bitcoin in that whole period. So I think that's the type of thing we could do where, like, we're already high. Like, Ethereum at, you know, $50 back then was extremely expensive. And then it's like, oh, crap, it went another 8x on top of that. And I think we could do something very similar here. We just get really far away from the mean. And then we spend months, reconsolidating for the final move of the bull market.
I don't know. I see 2K plus as a blow off top. So
I think it'll go well beyond 2K. What's the 2K plus version for you? Let's make a wager.
You heard it here first.
Let's make a little wager.
What do you mean the 2K plus version?
Yeah, like you make a number that you want to take the under on, and then I'll see if I take the over and what we bet.
2,000 to 2,500 is where
okay, so 2,500 then, right?
Sure.
All right, you take the under on 2,500. I take the over on 2,500. By when? The end of March?
Sure.
And what's our wager?
Whatever you want it to be.
All right. Let's make it a steak dinner next time. Next time we need to get together.
Sounds good. I like that.
Beezerball in the chat says that I have a bad poker face here because I'm readjusting my sitting position as I am getting serious now. All right, steak dinner, 2500, end of March. Somebody put it in the log.
All right, sounds good. We'll put it on the blockchain.
There we go.
ETH/BTC seasonality, yeah. Q1, it does best, and then it just does nothing the rest of the year. So that would line up with your uber bullishness. And this makes sense, too, if we look at the chart on ETH right now. Like, it's obviously more bullish than BTC, so...
Yeah, let me find the. I moved around looking for GDAX specific. I still call it GDAX. Some of our listeners might not even know what that means.
I remember. Yeah, I remember the whole like the announcement for GDAX and like the countdown for GDAX.
Yeah, you know how like this has been my most successful trading month ever. And the reason it has been is because every time I see anything bearish, I'm just like, screw you, bears. You're stupid. This is bull market. I'm following the plan. I'm buying the dip, and I'm going for it, and it's going to be dumber than you think. And so far, it's working. today, I did that with ETH/BTC when it went as far as 0.036. And I was like, oh, this is a cute little retest of that perfect weekly level, and let's go to 0.055 now. Off we go. And we're bouncing pretty nicely. So I'm just going to keep my all is bull hat on and – there we that's my plan, you know. And if the legacy market decides to screw me over, then that'll be that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't trade that ETH/BTC chart. It's just too all over the place for me. What do you think about the Grayscale trust? Are they bullish? They keep announcing one every other day.
What do you mean? Wait, bouncing every other day? What do you mean?
Announcing. So they have the Aave trust, the Link trust, the XYZ trust, whatever.
I just think it's a way for institutional investors to harvest massive premiums off of like Grayscale products. Like, I guess people will kind of ape into those through their those accounts. But has it really been that impactful for Zcash and all those?
No, but you could argue like Link, it's number four. You know, people are looking at it. I don't know. Maybe I'm overly bullish because I have a bag. But
I think what I like more is. GBTC started to, I don't know if I have the premiums up now, but I think the premium's getting a little better again. I have GBTC. Like, I've been buying this dip, like everything under 35K. If I have profits in legacy markets, I'm just putting it in GBTC like an idiot. And you know what? It paid off today.
You have a read on MSTR going all time highs?
MicroStrategy? No, I don't. I really don't look at MicroStrategy, to be honest.
What about using it as a proxy for sentiment? You know,
for a proxy for sentiment, yeah, I could get that. The premium on GBTC is still going down. Maybe that premium will just stay down while people harvest it off the last run or wait. Once Bitcoin starts to go again, maybe the premium will rise first, and that'll give us a hint. I don't know.
You did a podcast with CMS Holdings that was really good earlier this week, and he had a take that he thinks the GBTC trust is going to become an ETF. Do you think that's insane? I actually like that idea.
No, I love it.
It makes the most sense, honestly.
Yeah, it's the easiest solution for everyone, and it's you know, he made the point that like just make it safer for people. You know, like just they're already using it. You're just getting retail fleeced with this giant premium. So instead, just enable like the product in a way that they don't lock in that amazing, you know, that insane premium, and retail is not forced to buy that premium, and make it simpler, and it's going to be better for your average investor. So it totally makes sense. They're already doing the custody and all the stuff. It's cash based. Totally get it that way. So yeah, thanks for pitching that. Everybody listen to the CMS Holdings episode. He was awesome.
Yeah, and the Mooch did a pod with Andy at BNC.
Awesome.
which I think is hilarious. I listened to it. I thought it was great. It was just the Mooch just talking the whole time. But it's just so weird to see like the worlds collide of the guy who was the
absolute meme fest of a what are those called? The PR, the press guy, press secretary?
For 11 days, and then all of a sudden here he is, like, championing BTC. Like, it's so bizarre.
I mean, he was a lead character on SNL, at least in terms of being imitated.
Yeah.
And now he's pimping his Bitcoin holding company.
So,
what a world.
That was interesting.
Yeah, he's interesting because he was, like, really paraded around in a joking manner politically, but, like, finance-wise, it seems like he actually, you know, people give him a lot of credit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he went to Harvard, and he's a smart guy, for sure.
Yeah.
I hope you can't hear that vacuuming in the background.
I can. I love it. Tell me about these ETH 2.0 staking. People, a lot more Ethereum is being sent away.
If you can hear it, I apologize.
No, it's okay. It's not bad.
So it's a good idea just to look at supply demand, right? Like ETH 2.0, that's ETH that's locked up for a couple of years that keeps rising. Another reason to be bullish on ETH. DeFi Pulse, we can bring that up as well. But that's, I think ETH locked is actually going down in DeFi. Maybe that's wrong. But
I don't know.
Let's take a look.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it is downish. So it's harder to be bullish on that. But this is like temporary locked. ETH 2.0 locked is like the certificate of deposit. We're like, you're not getting that out for the next 2 years, right? Like, so that's, to me, that's better, actually. Just have people squirrel that away, forget about it, you know.
Yeah.
Just get it off the float. Yeah, that's how I see it.
One of the charts similar with Bitcoin that I shared in the Market Huddle podcast today, I brought a slide deck for that podcast. If y'all listen to the Market Huddle, I did an interview with them. But this other crypto quant chart of Bitcoin off exchanges is like, it's still melting, man. It's crazy. Like, Bitcoin is leaving exchanges in such a big way. The other things that I shared with them was monthly DEX volume. And I was like, this is the trend you need to pay attention to that's not out here yet. And this has also gone parabolic in January 2021 is how much DEX volume there is. And across many of them, Uniswap's the biggest, but a ton of volume on some of the other ones too. The one I want to ask you about, and you got me on these coin metrics, is this ETH transaction count and fees are like super mooning relative to Bitcoin. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, ETH can't scale. And
so therefore it becomes expensive.
Right. So you're seeing more and more transactions because of the DeFi stuff. I think at this point, most people are doing just a ton of transactions for like little stuff on ETH and paying insane prices like we talk about every week. So yeah, fees are going to keep rising in perpetuity until layer two solutions are utilized, you know? Like,
yeah, in which they are too, like layer two scaling out for synthetics and for other products. The optimistic roll-ups for synthetics is the method. It's unknown yet which one will Uniswap use, but everybody's going to follow synthetics and Uniswap probably. So they're going to kingpin one of these layer twos. Throbbing Red says in the chat that Grayscale resumes private placement of ETH. Is that true?
Well, I was looking at the fund data on CryptoQuant for ETH. And I did notice that it's been flat since December 8th as far as the total ETH in the fund. And
yeah, so it's been closed. So
All right,
so per Twitter, thanks, Pat, for confirming that. So there's our bullish weekend right there. Just freaking buy ETH. Why not? It's over.
Well, I thought it was already open, but maybe I'm
nope,
mistaken.
Now it is. It's on Twitter. It's official. So here we go. Send it. Send it. This is why you just be stupid bull all the time until you lose so much money that you have to change your mind. I just can't be bothered, Josh. I can't be bothered to be bearish.
I agree. It's a bull market. Like, what are you doing? You know, if you're in crypto and it's a bull market, you have one job.
You have one job, money. Which is buy the freaking dip and enjoy yourself. God, this feels like October, November when we were talking. In 2017, we're gonna get wrecked.
One thing I was gonna say about the ETH fees is there becomes some sort of equilibrium where miners are collecting so much notional value in ETH. Like, we have to be careful about what they're actually selling, because if I'm a miner and I'm collecting so much more than I usually do, I'm unloading that as fast as I humanly possibly can. So that's going to create this sell pressure as well. It all looks bullish, and it is, that everyone's using ETH. But at the same time, if the fees are super high and I'm a miner and I'm just selling, you know, I'm making hand over fist as an ETH miner right now because of the fees. And I'm just selling all that directly on market, because why not, right? That's going to create some downward pressure.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Ethereum improvement proposal 1559, EIP 1559? This is about changing the model for how ETH fees work. And essentially, it makes it to where there's a base fee and a tip, and the tip is all that goes to miners, and then the base fees are burned. So this is what changes the monetary policy for Ethereum. Miners don't like this, as Plur says in the chat, but there's talk that this could actually be implemented before ETH 2.0. So this might be like a spring 2020 type of thing, or like, I mean, I guess any moment. And it would change the way the fee mechanism works, so that your fees that go up, like right now, it's just like everything clogs in at one moment. This changes the whole structure of that to where it's just a little simpler. Do you know about this proposal, and do you think it'll be the big impact, like the big bullish thrust for Ethereum?
I mean, I've heard about the proposal. I also know the miners are pissed. Miners are perpetually pissed about ETH for a million different reasons. One being the prog pile stuff. One being this, and tough cookies, guys. Guess what? You're going to be irrelevant in a couple of years anyway. So in the meantime, yeah, it's going to be super volatile, and it's going to be ugly. It's going to get super ugly with the ETH stuff, because these, you're basically taking away their livelihood, right? The ETH miners.
Yeah.
Because you're cutting their fees whatever this EIP 1559.
Yeah, so this is partly what could turn ETH into a potentially deflationary asset over time, as all this stuff gets burned. And then the reward for miners or node operators in the future is purely through this tip mechanism. But there's still no limit on the tip. So, like, if I really have to get through, then I just leave a gigantic tip, you know, like, and there's, you have tip wars in gas instead of, you know, the current, but still the base fee changes as the network gets more congested. And part of this proposal is actually the blocks are twice as big, but only halfway used. And then as the blocks have to be more used, the base fee increases to where the base fee gets like super, super expensive, which gets burned, but it gets expensive quicker, but then it's like, it's the elasticity of it is different. And essentially it's a theory that they think will help with scaling prior to layer two. But it's also from a ETH price perspective going to burn a crap load of ETH in that base fee itself. So it could be really interesting towards the way you view it as a money mechanism, and whether it'll essentially be bullish for number go up, which I think if this passes, it'll be super bullish.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And the miners are going to be pissed, but you know, what are you going to do? Right.
Right.
Like the worst that could happen is there's some sort of fork and like mass exodus, by the proof of work people. I don't know. I haven't really been following what the miners are saying exactly, but I can imagine something like that.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to some other like large caps. You got Link pulled up. It was weak versus BTC, but it had a heck of a move, went to price discovery, and off it goes. It's following the channel of destiny still?
Yeah, still in the channel of destiny. Looks good, just the buy and hold. I think a lot of stuff, which is why a like broad fund is good as far as what I want to be doing here. Like we talked about last week, I just want to buy a index fund or something where I don't have to think about this, because most of the stuff's just buy and hold, really. Like, unless you're breakout trading this DeFi stuff, you know, even like stuff like 1inch, the token, like to me, that's just a buy and hold, right? Like look at Uniswap, look at Sushi, look at all this stuff. It all just looks like a buy and hold to me, even though it is overextended and I don't want to get in up here.
Well, you didn't like buy the bottom, but you are buying, say, price discovery on something like 1inch.
You can, but like I'm already in, so
you know. Yeah, I'm saying, but now like you could justify a one inch buy here because it's going in a price discovery, like on the dollar basis.
Yes.
Even so, like even though it's like a big trend, it's off, it's tripled off of where it kind of based. Here you are at $3. My thing is on a relative valuation perspective. I got really bullish on ZRX this week because I learned, you know, just how undervalued ZRX is relative to these, despite playing the same exact role. Like it lives in the same land as one inch and especially, but also Uni and Sushi. But on a valuation perspective, it's like $400 million and those are all in the billions. And the volume that they're doing on ZRX is huge. So I have a ZRX bag, and I may have more if it's just going to offer it to me. But what I got interested in with it as well is like it looks like it could have a mean reversion play relative to Ethereum. And it's like, here's your ZRX double. It's just like catching up to the lows it broke down from late last year. And so I like trades like that where the dollar trade looks good, the value looks good. It's still super DeFi centric. It's also on Coinbase. So I'm like super bullish on ZRX. And I learned they already are actually giving some of their protocol fees back into their staking rewards, which I had no idea of. And they may be doing more in the future. There's some proposals out there to potentially do more. There's this ZeroXTracker.com/apps that shows how much volume is going through ZeroX. Their own API is putting, I think this is, yeah, past 30 days, $1.8 billion in volume on 180,000 trades. But then all these other apps like our Matcha, which is also their product and our sponsor, is 60,000 trades with $1.2 billion. And then this Token Lawn is an Asian thing, and 1inch uses it, MetaMask uses it, Zapper, Paraswap, Dodo. Like they're like super DeFi plumbing, and they're not being priced that way. And they're accessible on Coinbase, and it's under a dollar. Like all these things we've talked about, it fits all these boxes.
You don't need ZRX for anything, though. That's how it's different.
But ZRX is used within those protocols, and like some of that stuff goes back to the token holders who are staking it.
Like, yes, they have staking, but that's a tacked on use case.
Like, okay, you don't need you don't need Uni for anything. People are just making assumptions about what Uni holders will get in the future, but it's $8 billion. So the same argument you just made for ZRX, you could apply to Uni or some of these others. Now,
I'll apply it to 1inch and Uni. And
but it's not stopping you from like Wi-Fi trading Uni, is my point.
No, but I'm not using that as a prime example of why we should be in that token. You know.
Well, I am. I think it's going to a dollar at least, and probably going to go into price exploration relative to the prior all-time dollar highs. Above $2. How about them apples?
All right. I mean, you can't be bearish on this stuff, right? Like this is why we need like an exchange token DeFi index. We need like a protocol token index.
You know,
because it's just too much. It's too much to like manage all this stuff individually.
If only there was a way to do that. So I put together a token set through Set Protocol. And, you know, people can create these in any way they want, but I actually made one. It's just wrapped ETH right now because it makes it easier for people that want to, like, get in it. So you can just go issue and put your own wrapped ETH, but then it gives the set manager the ability to rebalance the fund. And one of the things that I want to do is actually to make multiple of these. So I made a Tulip fund, and this is purely my desire to do one that's more like, here's what I like right now type of rebalance and trades. It's very manual. It's very discretionary. But I think some other really good ones would be like, here's your DEX exchanges, and you can buy them all. Or here's like a macro fund. It's like WBTC, ETH, and USDC only. Or here's a DeFi index, kind of like the DPI, but maybe I don't have the same restrictions as the DPI. So I've already made one. I'm going to make more. I put it on the website. If you go to letterstatus.com/tulip, the initial one. And please keep in mind all the disclosures. This is just me using smart contracts, but I'm excited to manage this and, more importantly, do some additional ones in the future because I think it could be a lot of fun. And you do one of these too, right?
Yes, I do two of them actually, and we're migrating to Enzyme because the fees on sets are horrendous. Horrendous.
Well, the sets V2 are apparently better. So I had to pay like $450 to deploy the contract, but now my trade fees they look similar to like if I was to use Matcha or something, because it does run on the 0x protocol in the back end. So how about them apples?
Yeah, I'm not sure how the Enzyme stuff works, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it trades through swaps and like synthetics and stuff. So hopefully it'll be cheaper than the sets.
So here's where my dilemma is today. Do we have any other like newsy stuff to talk about?
Probably not.
Okay.
This is what, an hour, right? We're about an hour.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes left on the hour. So I have a couple of trades that I like. I told people that I might deploy some of these funds while we're on the show. And in terms of what to do, the problem that I run into is relative to Ethereum, which all the funds are in right now, I'm not sure what I like the best on that Ethereum relative basis, because I'm really bullish on Ethereum. Of the ones I like, I do like Sushi. I think Sushi looks really good relative to ETH. Looks like it could leg up again. I like 1inch. But, Josh, we need to make some decisions on how should I deploy this. What should I do?
I mean, it's your baby, man. I don't know.
But we have the power right now.
I mean, I personally think ETH is the best play right now.
Like just ETH all by itself? Just like... Welcome to the Tulip Fund. It's an ETH maximalist right now.
I mean, that's look at the chart, look at the setup, right? Like you have bear divs on every other DeFi chart, or you've got this ascending triangle on ETH, right? Like,
yeah, and that Sushi setup or 1inch, or I'm looking at Cream here. I kind of like it. They've got this Iron Bank thing going on, but yeah, like they're all a little bit indecisive, and I'm not quite sure how I want to play it. I would probably do Algo if it was an ERC-20, but it's not. So I like Algo in the fact that it's on Coinbase and accessible through centralized exchanges, but I hate that it's not on the decentralized exchanges. There was one more that I was looking at that I really liked on a ETH relative basis. I like Badger, but it's a little dicey. Like I'd rather wait for the break. So I can deploy this at any time. I don't have to do it like right now. But yeah, I'd like to do it on something that's kind of DeFi centric, not like as simple for other people to pop in and look at earlier. What was I saying earlier that I liked so much? There was a chart that I really liked. Oh, Comp. Let's see what Comp looks like. Yeah, see, I really like this Comp chart. Maybe that should be the first one. Let's look at Comp, Ethereum. What's the business on this? Ooh. A little bit of maybe like a swing failure pattern versus Ethereum. I know this is really exciting for the people that are all audio only, but, you know, we might make a trade on the air here, so.
It's what the people have always wanted.
It's what?
Live trading. I never understood the, like, fascination with that.
Like, why do people want that?
Because to me, trading shouldn't be exciting. It should just be boring. Like, you're looking at a spreadsheet. This is your thing, your head, blah, blah, blah. You know, like.
Yeah, like what's your decision criteria on like how did this trade fail? Like how would we decipher that on Comp? Like we're essentially buying all-time high resistance with the expectation that it's going to break up because we're simple apes. But where's our stop, right? Like where are we going to say, okay, oopsie. I tend to think on Comp maybe below the daily open, so like below like 250 or something. Yeah. I think Comp should be it. What do you think, Josh?
To me, it looks like it's got this rising wedge thing. It's probably got a div on RSI, which it does. Had a div previously that broke down.
So you're saying buy now?
It's not a buy for me, you know, but I wish you luck.
I think it's going to go for it. Hey, what else do you like? I know one thing I wanted to ask you about before we go. The NFT stuff, what do you think about it?
As somebody who collected baseball cards very early in my life, moved to Magic the Gathering, I think on-chain NFTs are a joke. Sorry. It's just me.
But there's, like, the activity is insane.
Yeah. I can't get behind that. That's a bridge too far for me.
Have you seen these NBA Top Shots and stuff?
No, it's all cool, and it makes sense why it would be worth something, and it's I don't know. It's not for me.
Not for you.
I haven't seen the Top Shot stuff. But yeah, I can see like IRL NFTs migrate to blockchain NFTs very easily. I can see that because we live in a digital world now, you know, there's digital versions of everything.
Yeah. Can you do a rundown on the layer one stuff? We're getting asked about Tezos in the chat, but what are your thoughts on that? Tezos, EOS, XLM, layer ones. You can use Tezos as your example.
I sold all my Tezos the other day. I just got sick of waiting for it to do anything. So, yeah. Don't like Tezos. Sorry. It's just, I feel like at this point, money is just better deployed elsewhere, honestly. LTC looks like it's mirroring BTC, and that's like this downward chop stuff on the daily. XMR probably looks the best, honestly, of all this stuff, which I haven't looked at lately. Actually, it doesn't look so hot. but if you're waiting so long, XMR, I'd be waiting for this bullish TK recross above the cloud that it's had a few times on the daily. What else is there? Tron popped up, didn't it? Because it's, I guess not so much, but I don't know. I just would never touch Tron, really. It looks fine, I guess. I don't know. It's just anytime I see charts that are highly volatile, like even like comp, I was saying in a video I did this week, holding comp is like you just have to buy and hold it because it's up and down so much every day. Like you can't trade it, really, right?
Well, sure you can. I just did.
The tulip
fund is now 18% compound. So
you can't say like my stop is here, my target's here. It's just it's so volatile from week to week, from day to day. You know, like look at this Tron chart. Look at the
I reject your statement. You can absolutely trade these. You absolutely don't have to buy and hold them. And comp is going to
here's a perfect example.
$360.
Look at the Tulip UMA chart.
Owns comp.
Look at the UMA chart. It literally goes the entirety of the range over the course of a few days.
That's what makes it beautiful.
If you're a range trader, let me finish. If you're a range trader, great. If you're a trend trader, a nightmare. You know, this isn't my trade. This isn't my chart. I would avoid this at all costs. It's just not for me. If you buy the highs, sell the highs, buy the lows, that's fine. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I think Compound is ready to break the highs and take this first fib at 360, and that's a trade I'm willing to take. So that is a 35% move, and I have my funds in Tulip, and maybe some other people do too. In fact, they do. So my set is now 18% in comp. So we'll see how it does versus Ethereum.
What was your fee for that?
Like $80.
Okay, yeah.
Not that bad. You have to pay almost that much for like a regular transaction. Yeah. So the one thing, if somebody wants to join a set protocol, now they would have to have this 80 to 18 difference between Wrapped, ETH, and Compound in order to join the fund, the set now. So that's the one downside why I was waiting until now, but so
is that how they get around the fees then? Because before, you would just give them ETH and they would
do everything. People can issue directly from ETH into the spread of stuff that it owns in the future. But now, this is the only way you can issue. In a couple of weeks, they'll be able to do ETH and it'll diversify it into whatever the fund owns.
So that's actually like really difficult for people to get in then.
Current at this moment, they have to own all the individual elements and then join, and then it gives the set manager the opportunity to rebalance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's not great as far as usability. You know.
Yeah. In a couple of weeks, they'll be an issue straight to it. That's why I left it in Wrapped ETH for now until however many people, like if they wanted to be goofy enough to join it, they can. Now someone would have to buy Compound in advance and then they would join it at these relative values, but that's okay. I'm already uncomfortable enough being the set manager with $185,000 in there.
As somebody who's managed these, my best advice is to have set criteria as far as what you're going to do with the money once it's in there. That's because you want to make it stupid simple. At least that's my own advice. You know, like my alligator fractal stuff is what I've been trading for the ETH, and it's just been super easy to say, okay, I buy here, I sell here, right? Like that's all it is.
Yeah, I think my criteria for failure is a close below this all-time high back in September, which was like 250. So close below 250 and then start to consider profit taking at the 1.618 at 360. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I surprised how many people aped in a tulip? No, it's a bull market. You know, people do things.
I think that's all we got for today, right?
That's all we got. I've had fun. I hope everybody else had fun. If you enjoyed this episode, I don't know, it was a little bit of a weird one. We had a lot to talk about, and then we made trades on air. Adam, I don't have any opinion on Adam. We'll do some post-show for people that want that and other stuff. If you did enjoy this, give us a rating and a review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. Hope everybody has a great week. We'll see you on the after show. Follow Josh at Carpe Noctem, me at Ledger Status. Have a good one.
Monuments crumble in the blink of an eye. The easy river has just run dry. In a house of cards, I feel the breeze wound.